Okay, let me give you part two on synchronizations. I figured, well, I might as well talk about it a little bit more. I didn't really give you a lot of detail on the synchronizing body parts, so let's walk through those right here. So first of all, I divide them up into four parts, the body up into four parts, and I give a letter to each one. So A, B, C, and D. So if we were thinking about this mathematically or writing out code language in a practice plan, I could make combinations between body parts. I could say, hey, work on A and B, work on B and C, now work on A and C, now work on D and C. And so you would know, once you know which body part corresponds to which letter, that would create the code language for knowing which synchronization to work on. So letter A, synchronization point letter A, corresponds to your entry and extension. So in the freestyle stroke, that's where the arm is entering the water and then spearing down along the ski jump pathway to leveling out to hit the target. Then synchronization point B refers to the catch and the pull. Particularly, it corresponds to the setting the catch. That moment right when you're collapsing the forearm inward and getting a grip on the water. And okay, then synchronization point C refers to the torso rotation, but we'll pick one point on the torso to represent the entire torso. So we use the hip as the representative of the entire torso. So letter C refers to C, the hip, okay? And then letter D, synchronization point D, refers to the flick of the foot if one is using the 2-beat kick. It does not apply to the flutter kick, 6-beat, 4-beat, whatever. If you do a flutter kick, that pulls the waist, the hips, away from the rhythm, the synchronization in the front of the body, so we cannot use synchronization very effectively when we are trying to use a flutter kick. At least cannot use foot synchronization with the body, with the upper body. So anything, with that said, if you're using a 2-beat kick, then we can consider synchronizing the feet as well with what's happening in the front of the body. So then, looking at some of the combinations, maybe first we would look at the entry, A, and the torso rotation, or the hip, which would be C, so A and C. So now we will feel the hip and the entry arm working together as the body is rotating, the torso is rotating downward, the entry and extending arm is going in and then extending forward to the target. So that's those two working together. There are some finer focal points that we might look at. We can think about the wrist and the hip being tied together with an elastic band. And as you slide the lead arm down on entry and extending the target, it pulls on the elastic band and it pulls the hip behind it. So we think of reaching forward with the lead arm and the hip slides behind it. That's one way of looking at it. And I think that's a preferred viewpoint, a preferred focal point for us when we're swimming distance swimming strokes or moderate tempos. But when we get into sprint tempos, when the body is trying to turn really fast, the rotation is happening at very small time intervals, then it could be more helpful to think of the turn of the torso driving the arm in and forward, because you're trying to move this big torso and at a very tight time interval, and it can help to really emphasize the drive of the hip, helping you drive the arm into the water and get to your full extension faster during a sprinting stroke. And so that's definitely something I focus on when I'm doing sprint work, especially as I get fatigued. So that's combination A and C, the entry and the hip. The next combination that would be good to look at is the catch and the hip. So the catch is B and the hip is C, so that would be combination B, C. So in there, it's helpful to think of this in two steps. You have step one, you're fully extended in skate, and the forearm collapses inward, starts scooping inward to get the initial grip on the water, to catch the ball of water if you're familiar with our catch lesson terminology. And so that's action number one, is gathering the ball inward with the scoop of the forearm. And then step two is the torso turning to start pulling on the ball. So again, you can imagine an elastic band tied from your catch wrist to your hip, and you shape the arm into the catch shape, and then you pull with the hip, and that elastic band tied between the two pulls the catch arm behind it. So effectively, you're using the small muscles of the arm and the shoulder to hold the shape of the catch, but then you're using the turn of the torso to actually pull on the ball. And this way, we're putting more of the load onto the torso so that the shoulder isn't quite pulling so hard and isn't getting tired out so quickly. And we teach this right up front in the level one series, is that, listen, your torso rotation can last all day, whereas the small shoulder muscles, they may last only an hour or so if you're really strong, cranking through the water. So if you want to swim any sort of continuous swimming, learning to empower most of your stroke from the torso rotation is really where the money's at. That's like the secret weapon when it comes to propulsion, is tying in both arms into the torso and letting that thing take most of the load. So that's a little bit about the connection, the combination between B and C, synchronizing the catch and the torso rotation. So then, like with the swimmer I worked with this morning, we did A and C, entry and hip, and then we did B and C, the catch and the hip, and then we put his viewpoint into the center of the body, into the torso itself, and I had him zoom out and take in both arms now, because those two are happening at the same moment. The entry is happening at the exact moment, or precise, approximately at the moment we're setting the catch on the other side. And the turn of the torso is connecting the two sides together. So it is the agent that transfers the force that is generated in the catch side and smoothly transfers it through the body into the entry and extending arm. And that connection is what creates a very smooth sense of propulsion in the front of the body. And the finer you've tuned up those connections, this more smooth it should feel inside the body, the more immediate that it feels like you can transfer force through the body, and it feels more effective, that when you're pulling on this side, it's actually translating into moving further forward on the skate side of the body. And that's really good news. That's how we start to feel that acceleration in every stroke. And I know it, the moment that somebody feels that when we're going through the lessons and we touch on this, or they accidentally stumble onto it, they like, wow, they pop up with a big smile. They're like, wow, look at that. Hey, I just felt that. That was really cool. And I know exactly what it is that they just felt, because that's the magic moment when the two sides of the body are connected. Now, in level one, we don't often teach to be kick unless somebody just happens to have a lot more bandwidth open and they have extraordinary coordination in the front of the body, because you need to first get the synchronization going in the front of the body before you really get serious about integrating the foot flick, the foot kick, the two-beat kick into the synchronization in the front. If it's approximately there, that's fine. If your legs are just kind of streaming behind and just a gentle flutter, that's fine. If you just only have room to focus on the front, that's great. That's what you should do. But once you feel ready to start thinking about the feet, and you don't have to think about the synchronization in the front of the body quite so much to keep it going, then we can think about, okay, timing the flick of the foot to correspond with the turn of the torso. Now, one principle involved with this is that you want to train two body parts that are close to each other first before you train two body parts that are far away from each other, because there's connecting parts in between those distant parts. So for instance, the furthest two points are the flick of the foot and the extension of the opposite side arm. So we definitely do not start with synchronizing those two distant body parts. Instead, we work our way across the body. So first, I would have the swimmer coordinate the flick of the foot with the turn of the hip. So that would be D and C. And I just have them feel how the turn of the ankle, the flick of the foot, helps turn. It creates a little torque inside the hip joint, which helps the hip turn. So what we do is we feel the torso turning, and then we apply a little turn of the ankle to help assist the turn of the torso. We don't want to, in generally, in distant and moderate and cruising swimming, it would be better to have the flick of the foot support the turn of the torso rather than flicking the foot in order to initiate the turn of the torso. Maybe in sprint work, when it's really fast tempos, like we're talking definitely below 1.9 seconds per stroke, you may need to start using the flick of the foot sooner to help you really get the torso turning. But before that, I'd like you to really work on letting the torso start to turn and then applying pressure with the foot to assist and magnify the turn of the torso. So the step one would be synchronizing the foot and the turn of the hip. Then a good step two is then to synchronize the flick of the foot with the catch on the same side of the body. So those two are on the same side. And obviously the hip is, the torso is the connecting agent between the foot and the catch. So if you train the catch and the hip, and you train the foot and the hip, then you feel all three of them working together in a very smooth, coordinated action. They all should be. Then once you've kind of got that going and you feel that combination down the catch side of the body, then you can consider feeling the relationship between the foot and the extension on the opposite side of the body. Likewise, again, you have the torso as the connecting agent between the foot and the extending arm on the opposite side of the body. So again, you can tune up the entry and extension and the hip combination, and then you can tune up the flick of the foot and the hip and torso rotation combination, and then you can feel all three of them working together, where the press of your foot helps you finish the extension of your arm on the opposite side. So if you just remember a few sentences ago, I said use the flick of the foot to help you magnify the turn of the torso, but not initiate it. So what that means then is that you can use the flick of the foot to help you finish your extension on the opposite side of the body, but you shouldn't be using it to help you start your entry. That would mean your kick is happening a little too soon. Again, this applies to easy swimming, moderate swimming, distance cruising. I'd like to see your kick happening just slightly after the torso rotation has started to turn. But once we get down to sprints, then you can consider flicking that foot sooner, a little bit more aggressively, to help you get the torso turning fast enough. Okay, so that's walking you through the synchronization points. A, B, C, and D. So you can do A and B, and you can do A and C, and you can do B and C, and you can do D and C, and you can do D and C, and B and A and D. All permutations, all combinations, they're all viable. They all work together. And the more that you do this, the more that you can combine multiple points, three of them together at the same time, and feel different relationships through the stroke. And it's just so fascinating, and it's so pleasing to work on these combinations, because there's such great feelings that you feel, and the feedback you get is very reliable. When it feels smoother, when it feels more effective, then you can be assured that it is more effective. So there you go. There's some more encouragement for what it, the specific terminology and a little description of those combinations. Again, I hope that inspires you to work on synchronization more. And if you want more info on that, you can look at some of the articles in the dojo library, and you can consider taking the synchronization course. All right. Sync up, baby.